Hour number two is upon us on this Friday. Welcome into 104.5 The Zone. Buck Rising here with you until 1 o'clock. So happy to have you guys along for the ride. Coach Mack, Dave McGinnis, he's going to be here in less than 20 minutes from now. And you can jump in throughout the course of that. Should we take phone calls for Mack? You want to do that today? I feel like people... I don't know if we don't want to put Mac through that. We'll think about it. 615-737-1045. The phone lines are open right now. We've been talking about pressure on the quarterbacks this weekend. Stafford, Garoppolo, Mahomes, and Joe Burrow. And basically running it through the prism of Ryan Tannehill, who both he and Aaron Rodgers, first round by first round or divisional round exit, one and done in the postseason. People clamoring for all kinds of different players at the quarterback position here next year, but kind of ignoring what's happening around them. Because I think that the conversation around Matt Stafford has the ability to, I mean, it's going to drastically shift if they lose three games in one season to the 49ers, especially with how limited Jimmy Garoppolo is. So pressure is on Stafford. The most to prove, though, I think it's Jimmy Garoppolo. Jimmy Garoppolo is an interesting case study, especially given the conversation that we've been having here since the Titans got bounced. Jimmy G's an interesting case study for how far can you go with quarterback limitations. And what I'll say about Garoppolo is this. All he has done is win since he's been a starting quarterback. So I don't think that the conversation around him, that the narrative around Garoppolo has been necessarily fair. Does he have clear and obvious limitations? Of course he does. Nobody is disputing that. He has won two playoff games this postseason while throwing two interceptions and no touchdowns. He is not being asked to do a whole hell of a lot, but he is still the point man on this offense. And in fact, he's thrown an interception in every game. He's got six interceptions in his last four games to two touchdowns.
And most of them are really bad.
Oh, yeah. Like, they're the death pick, right? We talk about quarterbacks who throw the death pick, the death interception that you feel coming in your soul. Philip Rivers, famously. That's why Phil Rivers, his face always looks like that. It's why he's very gif-able. If you're somebody who exists on the internet, Phil Rivers throws the death pick. Jimmy Garoppolo throws the worst of the death picks. And his team still finds ways to win around him and to win with him. Third and seven, right? That was the biggest play call in the Niners-Green Bay game when San Francisco went into Lambeau and upset Aaron Rodgers in the top seed, the other top seed in the NFC. And third and seven, they choose to run the ball and they convert, which one to me says you don't trust your quarterback to get 7 yards on a passing play when he's only thrown. Lucas, how many passing attempts, without looking it up, do you think Jimmy Garoppolo threw in a win against the Green Bay Packers, 13-10?
I'm going to go with 17.
19 attempts for Jimmy Garoppolo. He was 11 of 19, 131, and a pick. They're not sacked four times, so he was under pressure. Green Bay had a good defense, so it's not like you can give him a lot of credit. But like the problem with Jimmy Garoppolo and sacking Jimmy Garoppolo is they don't drop him back. Like they don't do a ton with him. 19 attempts is about where you want to exist. So with those kind of quarterback limitations, to bring it back to a local tie, okay, how far away are you from that? Because all they do is find ways to hide the limitations as best as humanly possible of the quarterback. Now, Kyle Shanahan is a higher quality, higher caliber. He's a head coach as opposed to Todd Downing, who's now twice an offensive coordinator with two different franchises. And by the way, which we'll talk about in this hour, I very much believe him to be the offensive coordinator in 2022. Even as people, I'm getting tweets, people DMing me saying, are they just waiting until after the Pro Bowl to fire him? Because the Titans coaching staff is coaching the Pro Bowl. It's the Titans staff versus the Packers in the Pro Bowl. So instead of Los Angeles, Vrabel and them get a trip to Las Vegas. But with all that being said, how far away are you from what the Niners are able to do? Based on how you're built, right? There's not a lot of teams that play football the way that the 49ers do, the way that the Titans do, the way that they predicate their style of play. And basically what we talked about yesterday is, are they on the verge, are they on the edge of an existential crisis in the AFC where you got to sit down during this offseason and legitimately contemplate the idea, okay, if we've tried this now 4 straight years with the way that the Titans are built, the way that the Titans play football, with a specific kind of offense that is unlike most in the NFL, with our commitment to the run. Now, there's nothing wrong with that because it wins football games. Mike Vrabel has consistently found a way to produce at a high level and to achieve at a high level with the roster as currently constructed and with the style of play that they favor. But who among us watched the divisional round between the Chiefs and the Bills on Sunday night and said, yeah, Titans would have had a shot against those two teams right now? Josh Allen's getting sent home throwing 9 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, and looking as good as he has ever looked. Mahomes isn't bombing the ball, bombing the throws down the field. He didn't have a completion over 20 yards in the air. Yards after catch is how they were getting those explosive plays for Kansas City, meaning that Mahomes has now adopted a more refined style of offense as opposed to just running all over the place and making these mind-blowing throws. He's gotten better. Who among us watched that divisional round game between the Chiefs and the Bills and said, yeah, the Titans style of play is best equipped to not just compete, but to beat these two teams? Even as I understand that they won against both of those teams in the regular season. So with all that being said, how far can you get with the limitations that you have at quarterback? Niners this weekend are going to be a good case study, because if they make a Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo twice, you can't tell me nothing about Ryan Tannehill not being good enough to win a Super Bowl. Just needs more help.
But on the most pressure discussion between Garoppolo and Stafford, because you said Stafford, right? Like two different things, most pressure and most to prove.
Stafford is under the most pressure. Jimmy Garoppolo has the most to prove.
And I agree at face value, but who has more to lose?
Well, I would say Matt Stafford. Older, the Rams' longevity is not, it's not going to last this way, right? That roster is very much like win now or bust. Because at some point, they're going to have to figure out the money because they have made some crazy decisions. And by the way, it's worked. The two times that they've pushed all in for the Super Bowl rosters, it's worked. But their cap is going to be, they're going to have to find solutions at some point. They can't continue to accumulate talent like this and at value. Odell Beckham Jr. coming available for pennies is ridiculous. That doesn't happen in, like, you know, if you're a Marvel movie fan, right? The multiverse, you got 17 different scenarios of what the Odell Beckham Jr. situation can be, and it's never going to look as cheap as it does right now, except for one scenario, which the Rams have found themselves in, and trading with the Broncos for Von Miller. Like, at some point, you have to rectify those situations financially. Jerry in White Bluff is up next on 104.5 The Zone. Hello, Jerry. How are you?
Hey, is this Buck the Jerk?
Hey, yes, it is. In fact, it is.
I'm sorry. I just want to speak a little bit on Tannehill and a few of the quarterbacks that's in there now.
If, sure.
If you think Matthew Stafford, when he was at Detroit, what did he do? Nothing. He had no support, had no one around him, anybody to help that guy at all. And what happens? He plays for years and years, and he loses. And all of a sudden, he gets to a team that he's surrounded by players that help, and all of a sudden, oh, Matthew Stafford's a great quarterback. Look here. You know, it takes a team, and that's what's happening with Tannehill right now. You know, Tannehill has been a journeyman, and don't y'all cut me off quick like you've been doing. Hang in here with me. You know, you would be a jerk. But here's the thing, buddy. You know, Tannehill's a journeyman himself. He's been around the NFL forever, with Miami and different teams, and it's just like Mariota. I'm not changing the subject that quick, but it's just like Mariota. All of a sudden, we thought we found a savior in Mariota. Where is he at now? He's a ball boy for some team. I mean, I hate to say that. I love the guy. He could run and do crazy things like Mahomes is doing now. And I thought, boy, we've got us a quarterback. But where is he at? I'm thinking our hopes is going to be free agency, but do it smart. And don't worry about getting a top 10 pick coming up and all on the draft and all that. We're going, oh, we've missed them. Look at the greatest of all time. You know, the GOAT, Brady. He was fifth round. And I'm going to hang up, and I know he's got you a lot. There comes the music. So just hang in there and let me see what you think. Bye bye.
Thanks, Jerry. It speeds him up. Jerry said, don't play that music. Nobody is immune from the music.
Now, you waste precious seconds when you say don't play that music.
I was about to say, you're on a shot clock, Jerry.
Music's
everybody
going to be played regardless.
The music, there is nothing in our ecosystem. We have a very fragile ecosystem as a show. There is nothing that can disrupt the music. Nothing takes precedent over the music. We have to know this. There have to be rules. There has to be structure.
Thank you, Jerry.
Thanks for the call, Jerry.
Like, I do want people to know we appreciate that.
Oh, hell yes. But yeah, listen, you got to play the game by the rules, all right? Just like football, there are rules. We have to follow the rules. But to Jerry's point, again, Stafford is a higher quality and caliber of quarterback, talent-wise, than Ryan Tannehill. Now, talent does not supersede all. You guys know this. You can have all the talent in the world. And like Titans fans hate J.J. Watt, right? But there is no disputing J.J. Watt's greatness as a player and his talent at the position. And all the good that the talent did J.J. Watt without teammates around him that could support that talent. Defensive end or defensive tackle, which he's basically been in Arizona, much different than the quarterback situation. You have to have competent quarterback play to go above and beyond, to exceed your potential. But with Tannehill and Stafford, there is no disputing that the situations are similar in that when Ryan Tannehill came to Tennessee, they found ways to maximize his talent more than any other time, more than any other season that we had seen in Miami. Matt Stafford, the same kind of situation has happened. One may be physically more talented at playing the position than the other. There are a few people, I think, who would raise their hands and say, yeah, give me Ryan Tannehill over Matt Stafford if they were just on a neutral, nebulous team. But I think you can still have those same kind of conversations about, all right, McVay's figured it out with Stafford. Shanahan's figured it out with Garoppolo. What can Mike Vrabel do more to support that player at the position as long as he remains on the roster? Which, by the way, may only be one more season. But that's the one more season that you got. More of your phone calls coming up next. Coach Dave McGinnis will join us. We'll talk about conference championship week. We'll go through the Tannehill stuff with Coach Mack. That's next. I'm Buck Rising. It's 104.5 The Zone. That music on a Friday means Coach Dave McGinnis of Titans Radio. He's going to join us here in just a moment. Talk about some of this football that's going to be played between the Niners, the Rams, the Chiefs, and the Bengals. I also want to get his assessment of Ryan Tannehill since we've been talking about quarterback limitations today. But until Coach Mack joins us, you can jump in on the conversation. 615-737-1045. We got Mahogany, who's in Nashville, up next on 104.5 The Zone. What you got, boss?
Hey, man, what's going on?
Not much.
Yeah, hey, so I agree with you on Stafford and Garoppolo as far as most pressure and most approved. Because Stafford, I mean, dude, you've been here. You had a Hall of Fame receiver in Detroit. Like, come on, it's time to put up or shut up. But and I also want to say, man, yeah, you're part of the reason why we've been sad this week. Pounding the table at how bad that game was on Saturday, which we all saw.
It was bad.
Mind you. So, look, man, I listened to your show on Monday. And I listened to Michael Johnson's Bluer Than Blue for the rest of the day on my route. So it's your fault. I'm good now, but it's your fault. I blame you, Buck. #healthy relationship. I'll holler at you.
Thanks, Mahogany. 615-737-1045. Listen, if I will shoulder my portion of the blame for all the doom and gloom that's been had around here. But there's no time for that necessarily. There's time only for X's and O's talk because Coach Dave McGinnis is going to join us from Titans Radio here in just a second. He is presented, as always, by Farm Bureau Health Plans, like an extra set of pads since 1947. They have been protecting Tennesseans. Farm Bureau Health Plans, the best in the business. And they always make Coach Mack's visits possible. What I want to get into with him is kind of the conversation around the quarterback specifically, because that's where the most criticism of any player is coming. I know that Mack will have watched this game back several times. I know that he'll also have done some advanced scouting on the draft side of things. And by the way, there's probably, honestly, the question that I want to start with Coach Mack, who joins us now on 104.5 The Zone. Mack, the people are asking whether you're going to join Jeff Fisher's staff with the Michigan USFL team. Do you want to break any news here?
Yeah, I won't. I won't be. No, I've known about this for quite a while, you know, visiting with Fish. I will absolutely go down there. They're all going to be sequestered, or they're going to be based out of Birmingham for the first year. All the teams are. They're going to be in Birmingham. They're going to have offices. Every team will have offices down there. Every team will practice down there. Every team will play games down there in two stadiums. They're in Birmingham. Jeff and I went to Birmingham quite a bit when the Alliance was going on.
Yeah.
You know, because so anyway, I will be down there several times. I'll probably go down there when he first starts to see what the setup is. But as far as dedicating 3 months to coaching down there, I will not be doing that.
Okay. I just figured, you know, we ask the tough questions around here, Mack. I just wanted to make sure that we get to keep you around for a while. Coach Dave McGinnis of Titans Radio is here with us on 104.5 The Zone. Mack, help me understand what I saw from Ryan Tannehill on Saturday. That's where the majority of the criticism is being placed on by people who watched that game, by fans who have watched that game. I want to know how you assess Ryan Tannehill's performance.
Well, the criticism is going to be there because you threw three interceptions in a playoff game.
Right.
You know, and so that's just the way it is. That's what it is in the National Football League. And when you step up to the higher platforms, well, then if you're not successful and you're not successful within the game, then you're going to get the criticism, especially, you know, as the quarterback, you know. And so the interceptions are going to warrant criticism, and then it's going to, you know, that's going to be the talk, and that's just what it is. I mean, I was, anytime the interception, the first, all three of the interceptions, I mean, when you go back and look at them, you know, in hindsight, you could say, well, you probably shouldn't have done this and you probably shouldn't have done that.
Sure.
Look, this guy's been the quarterback since he took over in the third quarter against Denver and has won a lot of games. But we didn't win that game, which was a big build-up game, as all the playoff games I've ever been involved in are huge build-up games. And if you don't perform in them, well, then the letdown is really big, and so the criticism is going to be big. So that's what it is. I mean, and you can analyze them any way that you want to and try to put a spin on it, like, you know, should have done this, or maybe should have been better this, or maybe the scheme should be better. None of that stuff matters. What matters is when the time came up, you threw the picks, and so that's where all of this criticism is going to come from, and you just know it's going to be there if that happens in a game of that magnitude. That's the way I look at it.
Coach Dave McGinnis is here with us on 104.5 The Zone. From that standpoint, Mack, the game itself, I looked, and I talked about this with Cosell, Greg Cosell, earlier in the week. I couldn't say that I was surprised by the game itself, because as Mike Vrabel told us after the game was over, that was very much their style of play. It's just, as we've seen several times this year, the turnovers damned them. The way that they played football, there was nothing about the way that they came out and ran their offense that surprised you, obviously, correct?
Well, I mean, they had some different things, you know, for that defense, and it was we saw this football team this year, Buck, against lesser opponents, when you turn it over a lot, you have a hard time winning.
Right.
And then we also saw them. I mean, I was on the phone doing interviews today out in L.A. and in the Bay Area. And the one thing that both of the questions I got was, you know, how did this team beat those two teams in the same year? And, you know, I said, well, just playing like they did. They were physical and they ran the football and they were able to play good defense and they made plays when they had to, which is usually the way you win, you know, most games. And so it really, and there are different ways to win football games, and not one way is better than the other.
Right.
But what happens is when you lose a game of that magnitude, you know, again, and look, I've taken calls all week on a lot of shows I've been on out of this market. Rhett and I and Amy and Mike did Mike Vrabel's show Monday night, took all the calls, and people are very, very much, very much entitled to express their opinions. They're very much entitled to express all those things, because when you're invested in something, as these fans were very invested in this football team. I mean, you were there Friday night at the pep rally, just like I was. I mean, you've been to all the games, especially here, even on the road, you've seen the Titans fans. And so when you lose, it's a major, huge disappointment. And part of the fact of being able to get that out of you is being able to emote and talk about your emotions about it. So any of that stuff to me is I welcome all of that. But as I said, I was on the phone in L.A., I was in the Bay Area, and their questions were, how'd this team here beat them this year just pretty well?
Yeah. Speaking of different ways to win a football game, Mac, that's kind of what the 49ers have done, how they've made it into this Final Four. Their quarterback is obviously a big – they've been successful, hugely successful, with Jimmy Garoppolo at quarterback. But the way that they lean on different elements of their offense to make Jimmy not the most important part of their system, I think is pretty interesting. What do you see when you see this 49ers team and the way that they've kind of progressed since that Thursday night football game here in Nashville?
Well, the same thing I saw. You and I talked about the Niners going into that Thursday night game, you know, when we broke it down on your show before we played them. The thing, I mean, they've got a very intricate run game.
Yeah.
You know, and their run game is it puts a lot of pressure on a defense, and that's what Kyle Shanahan – look, that's what Mike Shanahan did. That's the way that he won his Super Bowls, right? I mean, he won his Super Bowls with kind of the same thing that Kyle's taken it and done the same thing with it. This is what this offense is. It's what Sean McVay's offense is. Now, they put their different spins on it as the way they do it. But, I mean, this all goes back to what Mike Shanahan did. But when you look at the 49ers, I mean, they lean on their run game, and then, you know, they disperse their quarterback, you know, throughout it when people start to crowd the line of scrimmage again. And then one of the smartest things they did, or the most innovative thing, or one of the most productive thing, whichever adjective you want to use, is when they put Deebo Samuel back there and started handing him the football in a lot of really critical points in the game. You know, you'll see them do that. So that's what I see when I look at their offense. I mean, that's the big thing. You've got to be able to defend all manner of their run game, and then you've got to be able to hold up to one-on-one when you bring everybody up to be able to take care of all the different run avenues that they explore.
San Francisco's obviously had a ton of success against the Rams while Kyle Shanahan and McVay have been coaching them respectively. Mac, you've drafted a lot of those players. You scouted a lot of those players. I know there's been some time since that's passed with that LA defense, but how difficult of a matchup are the 49ers specifically for the way that this defense in LA is constructed?
Well, they've been able to run the football on them, Buck. Go back and look at all the games. They've been able to run the football on them, and running the football does several things. And again, it's I know it's very elementary. It's elementary to our listeners because they're savvy football people. They move the chains, and when you do that, what you do is take series and take snaps away from an offense. You know, like now McVay, you know, likes to spread it out and play action it and spin it, but he needs a lot of series to get that done in, so he can explore as to how the defense is going to play him. And what, how many times has the Niners beaten them? Six times in a row? Is that correct?
I mean, I know they swept him this year. I don't know if it's six straight times. I'd have to look it up.
Well, don't look it up. We'll just keep talking here.
Okay.
But I know that they've beaten them. They've beaten them quite a bit. And when they do, they beat them running the play action and running the football is how they've beaten them.
Yeah, it's been a hugely effective strategy, and we know that that's very much what is in their DNA. On the other side of the bracket, Mac, when I look at the AFC matchup, Kansas City and Cincinnati, that game was a lot of fun in Cincinnati in the regular season with the way that the Chiefs got them down by 14 points twice, and you saw Joe Burrow and that offense be able to rally back. What do you like about this matchup coming up between these two teams, given the fact that they've already seen each other?
Well, the way Joe Burrow rallied back was the same way that the Titans beat Kansas City here, is that in that ball game, I went back and watched that ball game. You know, Spags, again, brought everybody up the line of scrimmage and matched his guys up man-to-man across the board, which, as we well know, if you've got any time at all for Burrow to throw, he's got people that can beat you one-on-one, right? And so, to me, the biggest matchup difference now and what will be interesting to watch on Sunday, which I'll watch very closely, both of these games, is the fact is to see the way that Spagnuolo deploys his defense now against, you know, Cincinnati, rather than just man up everybody across the board. He's going to have to play some zone defense, and I think he will try to affect the middle of the pocket the same way that the Titans put on a clinic as far as four-man rush, four-man games against the Bengals' offensive line.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that is a clinic. And so, to me, if Spags is a good defensive coach, been at it a long time, he's going to take a lot from that game as far as being able to play, you know, disguised zone defenses behind what is going on with a four-man pressure. And especially, he will know which pockets to attack along that offensive front, because the Titans, when you go back and watch that part of the game, if you want to watch that part of it and just diagnose how they were attacking those five men that they had up there blocking, it's pretty much a clinic on how to get a pressure with four people running games.
Coach Dave McGinnis of Titans Radio is our guest here on 104.5 The Zone. Mac, I've been saying, you know, I'm dramatic. This is why I do sports talk radio for a week. But I've been banging the table that the Bengals offensive line does not deserve to be in the AFC Championship game for as much pressure as was allowed on that quarterback against the Titans in the divisional round. But Mac, you know, everybody loves to armchair quarterback, or at least talking heads like I do. I go back and look at that game and the way that Burrow was not protected. I understand that they've had deficiencies on the offensive line all year long, but in a situation like that, what can the play caller, what can the coordinator, understanding that Zach Taylor calls their offense, what can they do to help protect that quarterback in a way that we maybe saw with Ryan Tannehill as the protection was breaking down around him and you saw Todd Downing put in effective protection plans?
You got to keep more people in. You know, you got to keep more people in. You've got to go aggressive chipping rather than light chipping. I mean, there's a difference in the way you chip the edge. And you've just got to be able – you've got to be able to reconcile to yourself that you're not going to be able to get five out in the pattern every time immediately. I mean, that's what has to happen. And then what you've got to do, if you're going to do that against a zone defense, you've got to be willing to take the short throws, because the big long throws aren't going to be there when people are playing, you know, zone defense against you, knowing that you are going to have to max protect against a four-man rush. I mean, that's the mindset that the play caller has to be able to take, and also the quarterback. He has to understand that I'm not going to have time to spin this thing down the field. I'm going to have to start, you know, spitting it out pretty quick. The most explosive play that the Bengals had offensively was a two-yard throw, right?
Right.
It was a two-yard throw and a missed tackle and a 50-yard run. So that's the way you have to do it.
Coach Dave McGinnis, the best in the business. You can check out the Coach Mac and Titans Amy podcast. There's great content being produced there, and it's all brought to you by our friends at Farm Bureau Health Plans, who make Mac's visits possible with us each and every Friday. Mac, I always appreciate it, buddy. Thanks for the time.
Buck, you're going to the Senior Bowl, I understand. Good for you. That'll be good. You'll enjoy that.
I will be there. Are you? You're not going?
No, I'm not going. Mike Keith is actually going to do the game on Sirius XM Radio.
Oh, that's awesome! I had no idea. Well, we'll have to chat with Mike about that. Yeah, I'm fired up for Mobile. I really am.
Well, I've been there about 30 times, so it's good. It's good. Look, and it's different than it used to be. I mean, I've coached in that game four or five times, and it's a good week, especially now. I understand they're going to do interviews with the players on Zoom, you know, because of still what's going on with the variant that's around. But what is good about it in coaching it, you know, it used to be when you got it, when we were able to go down there and watch it, you could be on the field and everybody would circle up and just be real close to the drills. It's all removed now, and it has been for quite a while, even before the pandemic. But the good thing is, especially if you're coaching it, is that you get a chance to know these players, you know, in the classroom, and you get to know them, you know, just the way that they interact with people for a week. It's a valuable, valuable tool. So I think you'll enjoy it.
Lions and Jets staffs coaching the Senior Bowl this week. All right, Mac, I'm going to text you for some dinner recommendations because I know you'll steer me right.
There's plenty of places to eat down there, but you need to like spicy food, and you need to be ready to stand in line at some places, because guess what? There's only so many places to eat in Mobile, Alabama, and everybody knows where they are.
The whole league is there. Coach Dave McGinnis, always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you, Mac.
See you, Buck.
Coach Mac with us every Friday, made possible by Farm Bureau Health Plans. All right. When we come back, I think there's some interesting stuff to pick at, and we've got some calls about coaching higher questions, one that I think is interesting on Nathaniel Hackett. So we'll get into that coming up next. Your phone calls as well. I'm Buck Rising. It's 104.5 The Zone. Bad habits. Three interceptions are bad habits. Not one, not two, but three. Tough scene. And as we talked about with Coach Dave McGinnis, the criticism is warranted. We've been talking about that all week long. 615-737-1045. What we haven't spent a lot of time on really just yet, and certainly there will be a lot of discussion around it in the coming weeks, is Mike Vrabel and the Titans coaching staff will be coaching the Pro Bowl. It'll be the Titans coaching staff versus the Packers coaching staff. Highest seed available that gets eliminated coaches the Pro Bowl. So the 2-1 seeds will be doing that in Las Vegas next week while I'm at the Senior Bowl. And we'll have plenty of time for draft. But we haven't talked about the other hires that have been made around the NFL. And I think there's some curious ones when you look at the jobs that were available this season with the Raiders, which actually hasn't come open. Rick Bisaccia is still technically their head coach. The Saints have come available with Sean Payton leaving the Dolphins and firing Brian Flores. The Broncos have hired their head coach and Nathaniel Hackett. And I think there's a lot of, I mean, 9 total jobs in the NFL are available this time around or have been available at any given point. And I think this, you're going to see some legitimate sea change as we talk about existential crises for the Tennessee Titans as you figure out if this style of play works for you to try and overtake Buffalo, Cincinnati, and now, well, Cincinnati, now Cincinnati, Buffalo and Kansas City as the entrenched teams, as the entrenched superpowers there. I think it's a pretty interesting conversation. Let's go to Dustin, who's in Nashville, up next on 104.5 The Zone. What's up, Dustin?
Hey, Buck. How's it going, man?
Going well.
Long time 104.5 listener. I haven't called in probably 6-7 years. I'm a Broncos fan for life, but I've been in Tennessee 20 years, so the Titans have a special place in my heart. But I wanted to change it up for you. I know you've been talking to sad Titans fans for a few days now. This Nathaniel Hackett hiring over in Denver. As a Denver fan, I've grown used to constantly hiring these defensive gurus, you know, that, you know, bringing these old defensive guys who will set the tone.
John Fox, Vic Fangio, like you got Vance Joseph, you're all over the place.
Yeah, but even Kubiak, he was an offensive coach, but he'd been in the league for years. So I know the Aaron Rodgers rumors. Everyone's been talking about Aaron Rodgers coming to Denver for the last year now. I know this makes the possibility more likely. I just want to know what your opinion is on Nathaniel Hackett, because I love your show and I like you as a football guy. So I respect your opinion. So I'm excited. Like, this has been exciting news for me. I don't know if it's because of the young, energetic coach or Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams potentially coming to Denver.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's all potential at this point. But that's really all I got. Just wanted to tell you I love the show and wanted to hear your opinion on this. So thank you.
Thanks very much for the call, Dustin. Look at that. We're bringing people out 6-7 years removed from calling Sports Talk Radio. Yeah, the Nathaniel Hackett hire is interesting in Denver specifically because, and just to give it a kind of local tie, that's where the strongest connection has been drawn between Aaron Rodgers and a potential landing spot should Green Bay and Rodgers decide that a trade away from the Packers makes the most sense. Now, the Broncos, I mean, Jason Martin would be able to speak to this better than I am because he's a Broncos fan, right? Jason is like a legit Broncos fan. This is the fourth head coach that the Broncos have hired since 2015. I was actually listening to Robert Mays. In fact, Lucas, that'd be, since we're live producing the show, Robert Mays would be great to have on next weekend at some point because I was listening to Mays and Mike Sando break down the hires. And Nathaniel Hackett, he was the fall guy in Jacksonville, if you remember. Like, Nathaniel Hackett had to fall on the sword of Blake Bortles and Doug Marrone with the way that things happened there, when in fact that was probably the best coaching job done that season to elevate Bortles to the place that they got him when they were playing in an AFC championship game. His family has been around football forever. It's the sixth, so it's four head coaches since 2015. They've had six since 2009. Broncos have low-key been down bad. Outside of winning the Super Bowl with broken Peyton Manning, they got lucky when he decided to take, not to be the LeBron James thing, but to take his talents to Denver. I think that the Hackett interesting is higher mostly because we've seen him have great success. If they want to adopt that style of play from Matt LaFleur, working under Matt LaFleur, to now Nathaniel Hackett heading to Denver with the potential of Aaron Rodgers, and connections drawn between Aaron Rodgers and the Broncos, even last year. Wasn't Mark Schlereth out there like real loud on local Denver radio saying that this was the place that Aaron Rodgers was going to end up had he been traded last offseason? I remember that being like a legit headline.
I wonder how much the Peyton Manning move to Denver kind of helps that argument.
What do you mean?
I mean, it would be a similar thing, right? Getting an offensive coach back there and kind of an aging veteran Hall of Fame quarterback coming to Denver and try to resuscitate that franchise.
Yeah, but, I mean, Manning was like a legit free agent. Manning wasn't, because you're talking about you didn't have to mortgage anything for your future to get Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning, it was like the first legit quarterback free agency we had seen because people don't let those guys go. So when he ended up there, you weren't having to give up a lot. Now, you were having to spend a lot of money because they signed DeMarcus Ware. They had Von Miller already in the roster. They brought Aqib Talib in from New England. Like, they were shelling out money on defense. I think it's a really interesting hire because I think because I got asked this question earlier. I'm pretty sure it's Jael on our YouTube chat where you can watch the show, was asking me, do I think that the Titans are at a disadvantage because they have a defensive-minded head coach and so much of the NFL seems to be predicated on, all right, defense is a second-class citizen. You want points, you want touchdowns, you want yards, you want high-level quarterback play or anything that can get you closer to that. And we can talk about that coming up next. We're also going to get into some of this stuff on the USFL I think is interesting. Mickey Ryan is going to join us in studio because I was listening to him and Blaine yesterday. They were having a field day with the idea that Jeff Fisher is going to be a USFL coach because it brought back a lot of memories for a lot of people when alternative football leagues had legit star power. So we'll do that and we'll have those conversations coming up next. I'm Buck Rising. It's 104.5 The Zone.